Let's pray, if you would. Oh God, as we now want to engage the scripture lesson, what we pray is an act of worship. And whether we talk about the discipline of worship or we talk about the discipline of engaging scripture, what we're after is the yield of that. It's not just the discipline, but a discipline is nothing more than the means to an end. And so we're after the yield of where our heart or our life becomes more like the nature of Christ. And so, again, we pray for that, oh God. We want to do that with an open heart and an open mind this morning. At the same time, the bonds that are created when we worship together and when we share a similar experience, we're grateful for how that grows and matures. And we ask all of this in your name. Amen. Last time I counted, I think they are roughly 8 different companies that their sole purpose is to take, if you send them a sample of your DNA, they can give you a breakdown of your ancestral history or some level of your heritage. And I know there have been millions and millions of people, really over this short history of, say, maybe 10 years or so, where they've sent samples of their DNA in order for them to get some level of breakdown to their history. And the good news is you can do that not only for yourselves, you can do it for your pets, particularly your dogs. And I think some of us, not in anybody in this sanctuary, love their dogs more than they love the people, but you can do it also for your dogs. I mean, actually, I have some extended family that have sent off samples of their DNA. They want to know if they're more English or Irish or German, whatever is their breakdown. And they've definitely done it for their pets in order to get some level of breakdown for what makeup sits within in their dogs. I don't know if you're familiar with or watch, this has been on now for a number of years, but for a while, Brooke and I really enjoyed watching the PBS series Finding Your Roots. I don't know if you've watched any of those episodes. Henry Louis Gates Jr., I think he's sort of the moderator, and where what he would do is he would interview someone in the public eye, maybe a sports figure or an actor or an actress, and then what he would do a deep dive into their ancestry, into their heritage, and then at some point he would present them with the information. And the idea was that by knowing more about, when I say their past, their extended family's past, that somehow that will give them a better understanding of themselves. It'll give them a better connection maybe with their heritage or history, and to the point that even going forward, it might even change what they do or how they act. And so I remember for a couple of years watching those episodes, we were intrigued. But there is something in all of us that longs for a level of connection, that things of origin are important to us. We're interested in things of beginnings, particularly our beginning, because that grounds us. It's a level of security for us. It can help create a stable foundation, and at least can help us with what the age-old question, who am I? We all want this. I mean, I'm sure if you have children, either your children have asked you this, or your grandchildren, or your great-grandchildren. I know I asked this of my parents and my grandparents when I was a child. I wanted to know their history. I wanted to know, where do they come from? What was it like? Not just for my parents, but my grandparents and my great-grandparents, and as far back as there's any level of understanding or history in our family. And understanding that, it sort of grounded me. It gave me a level of understanding, the lineage that I come from and what's part of my heritage and what's part of my culture. And I know I'm not alone. I mean, how many of you have wrestled and desired to know? There's something about knowing a level of origin that grounds us even now. Well, the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. And if you ask Jewish scholars about the book of Genesis, they'll tell you that it's a book of origins. It's a book of origins dealing with history, the world, humanity, the children of Israel, and all of how that's connected with God. for them and also for us. It is a, this is where we come from. This is how we came into being. This is our story book. And so when we read the book of Genesis, one of the things that we have to be mindful of is to at least read it with one level of understanding with how Hebrews would have read the story of origins. And they would do it with two major indicators. The first one is that the story itself, and what I mean is not just Genesis 1 and 2, but Genesis 1 and 2, and really the entire book, the story itself is bigger than any particular theology because it carries with it a great deal of mystery. And Jewish scholars will tell you that the story is bigger than one person's comprehension or one person's control. And the best way to read the story is to read it by yourself in pondered awe. Just to take the story for all that it is. And then the other indicator is that the story doesn't answer every single question that we would like. It doesn't get into the weeds of when. It doesn't get into the weeds of where. But those weeds that it does involve itself with, like the issue of who and why, it can give great meaning. And so for many of the Hebrews, when they would read this story, they would read the story and they would focus on the function of the story more so than all the individual details. Because what the function of the story, at least what that does give insight to, is the question, who am I? And for them, they would want to see the entirety of it than to break it down into individual pieces and chop it up and dissect it. Which is difficult for us if you think about it. I mean, we are heavily influenced from a Latin way of thought or a Greek way of thought and that prides itself in chopping things up and to taking things apart, and we want to dissect things so that we can look at every single individual part and to study that individual part, and once we've grasped that, then we put it all back together. But we like to break things down. We want to know how something operates and what are all the mechanisms that are required to set it in motion, and then what's the set, you know, what way, what's the right way to set it in motion? Where do we start with step one and then step two and step three and what have you? Not so much for the Hebrew way of thought. It doesn't mean that they didn't wonder about those things. They did want to know these things. But they were secondary to the function of the story as a whole. That was primary. And so for many of the Hebrews, when they read the book of Genesis, they're okay with some of the answers or some of the questions that are not answered. And they just would focus on the ones, those questions, or those answers that are given. They were a little more comfortable with mystery than maybe many of us are. Genesis is a story of relational identity, of where people and things are anchored in God. And to some degree, it's a family story. And the focus is not so much on the science of things, but on who am I, identity. And how does that identity then influence what I do? For instance, and I resisted the temptation to do this, at least when I was going through my sermon preparation and picking the different texts for this sermon series that we're starting today and on the book of Genesis, what I wanted to do was read all of Genesis 1 and all of Genesis 2. Those are the creation stories. There's actually two, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But if I did that, Laura would still be reading. And I know some of you, Bishop Looney told me something that I've never forgotten. When I was in seminary, he visited our school. He would visit every year, and he set me down one time, and he said, Shane, I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit leaves at about 11:50. So if you're not finished by then, that last 10 minutes, it's all on you. So I've limited the scope of the Scripture to just a few passages from Genesis 1 and then a few passages from Genesis 2. But what the story tells us, it answers the question, who am I? And then, because of who am I, then what do I do? I mean, because what we don't find in the story that I wish that we did is we don't get in the story, you know, what was God doing before this? It just assumes that God is there, and we don't know when God arrived or how God arrived and the time and the space. None of that is given to us. It just says before it all, there was God. And that things were empty and they were formless and there was voids and there was darkness. It actually uses two Hebrew words that are really, really unique. It's tohu and bohu. And they're not used often in the Old Testament. And they mean chaos. And they mean formless and it's voids and emptiness. And it says God hovers over that. And then God's Spirit, the one that hovers over, then calls out life and light and symmetry. We're not told how, just that God speaks it as if it's not complex to God. God did this without any major conflict, without any battle, without any sexual activity, without any feats of super heroic wonder, just hovers over and then just calls it out as if it's not that difficult for him. But it does tell us that he's the one. And it gives us insight into why, but it doesn't answer all the questions that we would want. We do see in Genesis 1 and also in Genesis 2 that God is seen as the one who calls out life and light when all is chaotic and disoriented and formless and void, and that what was formed and created is a reflection of who God is. That God is the bestower of blessings on all living creatures. That God is the maker of covenants with all that is created. And this is part of beginnings. But what is crystal clear, and this is the point of the beginning, is that human beings orient themselves solely around this relationship to God and not something else. And there's a level of rhythm to that. There's a level of order to that. And to some degree, in the book of Genesis, and we're going to look at about 6 or 7 different passages over the next 6 or 7 weeks, that when people orient themselves around this God, they live with levels of peace, with a rhythm, and with order. And yet, not just in the book of Genesis, but really throughout all of the Old Testament, and for that matter, we could go into the New Testament, when people fail to see themselves in connection to this God, it's as if they walk down a path that's filled with all types of mistakes. You know, in Genesis 1 and 2, what we find is from darkness and formless and chaos, God brings out symmetry, light, and life. And yet there's something about us where we go from symmetry and light and life back to darkness and back to chaos. That's been my experience, either in my own life or in observation of about 26, 27 years of ministry, where I just look at human nature. The more we find ourselves, that is who we are, our being, our identity, our sense of grounding. The more we find that in relationship to with this God, the more we're whole. And I don't mean just for us as individuals, but it's every single place that an individual, every place it touches. So it's relational. That we find our sense of being here. our relationships are also whole. And yet, or conversely speaking, the more we look for meaning and identity from something else, the more conflict, the more struggle, the more pain. It's like we resist the harmony and rhythm and order of things. And what we pursue is that we long with fighting and control. And it's not just something that is confined to the book of Genesis or to the Old Testament. It is the very same message that is manifested in the New Testament. The New Testament, the gospel, is about finding identity in God through Jesus Christ. The way Paul described it, and he spent his entire ministry writing about it to every single church and every single person. The epistles follow the same pattern. The first part of the epistles are who you are in relationship to this God. And then the next part of the epistle, the second half of the epistle, is about now what you do because of who you are. And he talks about it. In Galatians, for instance, fruits of the flesh compared to fruits of the Spirit. But for those who find their identity tied to this God, well, what's their character? What are their traits? How do they live? Well, it's things with love, joy, peace, perseverance, goodness, kindness. You know, it's amazing. One rhythm is out of chaos and darkness and voids and emptiness. The Spirit of God wants to call out life and light and wholeness. And there's another rhythm, that where one has light and life, and yet they'd rather revert back to things of chaos, disorder, and struggle. You know, St. Augustine, who in his day, and I guess you could argue from his day going forward, maybe the greatest influence on Western theology. Fourth century, lived in the late 300s, early 400s. Was the bishop of Northern Africa, Hippo. And the way he described this is, because he understood this, he said there's something about who we are that longs for this level of connection with God. And there's something about us that until we find this level of connection, we will perpetually be in a place of restlessness and disorder. He described it around the heart. He says, Lord, our hearts are perpetually in a state of unrest until it finds its rest in Thee. Out of chaos, tohu and bohu. Out of emptiness, voids. The Spirit of God hovers to call out life and light. And that creating aspect of God, it's not limited to just one and two. There's something about the Spirit of God that still hovers over every place, that still looks like tohu and bohu, that is empty, full of voids, and wants to call out life and life. And there's a rhythm where God wants to do this. And so we don't have to resist our beginnings. Their roots. They help us understand who we are. And by knowing who we are, then it helps us in what we do. There's something about the Spirit of God that longs to create life and light. And that's part of our origins. And it's part of our story. We don't have to resist what God wants to create inside of us, because this is also part of your story.